Coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation, it's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report for today. It is Thursday, May 20th, 1979. Well, no, it's not. It's 2021. I like to say 1979 because it feels that way in some respects. I'll tell you what, folks. I've gotten so many emails over the last couple of days and couple of weeks saying, you know what? There's no hope. I'm just convinced that there's nothing we can do. So many pearl clutchers out there. Oh, my gosh. Well, folks, I'll tell you what. If we can do it, if we can stay relevant, if we can avoid censorship, and as I like to say, where truth can't be silenced here at the Hagman Report, then you can too. And if we can make a difference in the smallest of ways or in the largest of ways, you can too, which is why I am so absolutely excited. This is a special show today. We were not going to have a show today. And the reason, well, I won't get into the reasons except to say there's a lot of things going on. You know, we're an investigative company. And having an investigative company, and there's a lot of responsibility there. And there's a lot, there's things that, well, there's people I value and there's things I value in terms of getting the job done. With me today is one of those guys that has the things, has the analytic ability, has the resources, hence ready-made resources. Robert Griswold from Ready-Made Resources is my guest, and we're going to chat for as long as he wants, as long as we can, just about current events and about things. I've got to tell you, it's an honor to have him with me. He's done a lot for me on a personal level in terms of keeping me safe in dealing with some of the crummy things I've had to deal with in the last couple of years. And I really appreciate that. And I know that he's helped a lot of our audience members. It's readymaderesources.com. The link will be in the program description box at HagmanReportLive.com. I would urge everyone to go there. Whatever your needs might be, he can fulfill them, I'm sure, from communications to freeze-dried, long-term storable food. He's got them. And you know what? It's not just them. It's the best of the best. That's what I've heard. I experienced. I have that. And night vision equipment, you cannot get any better than that. So with that, I'm going to bring Robert on. Robert Griswold, readymaderesources.com. Robert, how are you, sir?
I'm doing great. And thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure to be here. It's always a pleasure to listen to you. you and Steve Quayle interact so well together. I always look forward to all the programs that you do, as well as the others. But Steve being a personal friend and you being a personal friend, I think you guys have unique dynamic. That and the guest, what was it, Ice Age Farmer, last one I listened to. And excuse me, that was just excellent. I mean, that was an excellent program. If people haven't listened to it, I strongly suggest that they go and listen to that program. I mean, it really gives us an idea for the times in which we live. And you said 1979. I think you were probably going back to the gas shortages, the gas lines of 1979, hey, if you remember that.
Oh, yeah. Odd even days.
Odd even. Oh, yeah. My. Yeah, but gas is only 50 cents a gallon then, I think, you know, versus...
Yeah, I've got a picture, actually, 49 cents a gallon. If for unleaded at the time. So, yeah, but it just seems like, you know, the history does repeat itself, and it seems like we're coming into that same time, but multiplied by, oh, I don't know, 1,000 times worse in other areas, in all areas. And back at that time, too, remember, November of 79, we had problems with Iran, the Ayatollah coming over, the hostages began in November, 444 days, 52. I mean, so, you know, that. So things seem like they're in the offing. Now, we talked before the show and off air a little bit, and you had said so many things like, I'll tell you what, I cannot read. I wish I would have recorded that, because what you said was so profound in terms of where we're at and what people can do, the despair, the hope, stop the pearl clutching. Hey, we got to, you know, put her shoulder to the grind and let's get moving. So if you don't mind kind of giving us your assessment, you're an analyst, you have to be given the business you're in. So Where are we at here? What's going on?
Well, first of all, Dave, there's always naysayers out there. You know, as a Christian, I know I win in the end. And, you know, what Joe Biden is doing right now affects the kingdom of God in no manner whatsoever. It doesn't take a molecule off of it. It has no effect on it whatsoever. And since I live for that kingdom, Joe Biden, at the end of the day, all his ilk, the pedophiles, the deviants, the communists, all the people who would want to seek and destroy this country don't make any difference on this ultimate kingdom that, as a Christian and all the Christians that are listening, will be one day. I mean, they're going to do nothing for it. And we have to keep in mind that when Goliath, the giant, came against the people of Israel, most of the nation's soldiers of Israel at that time cowered in his presence. They were afraid to go up against him. But there was one person who was not afraid, David. And David wasn't, you know, he wasn't a big brawny guy like Saul was. He was just a shepherd. But, you know, he knew his God. And who is Goliath to defy the armies of the living God? And so he went out, and you know what he did? He put a stone right through his noggin and then cut his head off. So he killed that giant. And we're facing a lot of giants today. I mean, there's a lot of giants out there that we have to face. And we do not want to be of those who shrink back to cowardice. We're not cowards. In fact, if you read in the last chapter of the Bible, cowards do not get into the kingdom of God. You can go read it for yourself. I didn't make it. But again, so this is what we want. You know, we want to be an analyst and look at things and say, we have to prepare for them. We have to equip for them. But at the same time, we don't throw up our hands in despair and say, you know, like Chicken Little, the sky is falling and there's nothing we can do about it. There's plenty we can do about it. Because again, at the end of the day, Joe Biden and his ilk, Kamala Harris, you name it, Schumer, Hillary, Barack Obama, all the corrupt law enforcement officials, you know, they're afraid of us. That's why right now they are seeking to quell any vestige of magma out there. Anybody who would be pro-American, pro-Constitution, pro-Christian, they're seeking to absolutely, you know, silence that voice. Joe Biden is seeking to, you know, purge the military. They're purging everything they can purge away from because they're afraid of us. And we always have to remember that. They're afraid of us. And we are not to be afraid of them because they're the ones in the wrong. We have the moral courage on our side, and we need to stand strong in this time so that we can, in the end, pick up the pieces that they are going to absolutely, you know, destroy. This nation is going to go through some hard times. Hard times make hard people. You know, soft times make soft people. And that's, we've been soft too long. And so right now, there's so many people out there that have never faced adversity or hardship or difficulty or had their life on the line that, you know, they don't know what that is like. You know, you haven't lived, you almost died, that saying. And, you know, I've been in places around the world, Pakistan, Asia, China, North Africa. And I'm telling you, there's times I didn't think I was coming home alive. I mean, I mean that. I didn't think I was coming home alive. And some other people with me didn't think they were coming home alive. I mean, but you face that and you realize that God is faithful. He brought me home. He protected me. And that's the mindset that we need today. Because as an analyst, again, I look at the pieces of the puzzle that we see being put together right now, and they are formidable. I mean, this president and this country has spent money to where we're going to see hyperinflation. It's already hitting us. I just went to go buy 6 sheets of oriented strand board. I'm building my wife an addition. I'm finishing up on it. And I needed 6 sheets to put a little bit of subfloor down. And when I paid $15 a year ago for it, I paid $50 a sheet now. So, I mean, in the food, everything. I went to the store the other day, organic food store we shop at. I could only buy 5 pounds of hamburger. We're limiting each customer to that amount. I go through, and again, as an analyst, I start looking, and I notice that the product isn't as deep as it was on the shelf, or there's spaces on the shelf. And, you know, certain products are just not available right now. And we're going to see more and more of that. Again, you know, that's just one thing that they do. And all communist, you know, movements need depravity. I mean, depravity, we need depravity too, but deprivation to make them succeed. If you have time on your hands, to run around and to resist them, you know, they have a harder time implementing their communist dogma and communist philosophy on the country. But if you are spending all of your time trying to get gas, trying to get food, trying to get the basic necessities of life, and then having to pay exorbitant amounts for it, so all of your savings and everything is gone, then they win because they can start operating, you know, incognito. Nobody notices it because you're just too busy to do anything else. And this is why, again, the preparation thing, that you're not in that boat to when shortages show up, they don't affect you as much. I mean, it's just like, okay, there's a shortage. You know, when it resupplies, I'm going to stock up more. And that's the thing we do. And that helps the nation. I always tell people, you know, preparation is a national security program. It's one of the best national security programs we can have as a country, because when something goes wrong, I have extra, and I can even help my neighbors out. If my neighbors are short on some things, they're hungry, I can earn good favor with them and help them out at the same time. But that's just one thing. It's the debt bomb that's hanging over us. The wars that we're in, they're, you know, they have to keep the attention abroad and fighting these wars, endless wars, where they're going to spend more and more money. I mean, the moral breakdown that they seek, we just see all this perversion being introduced into America, that you just things that were just unbelievably, and you wouldn't have believed it 20 years ago, are now being perpetrated on the American people. And if you understand the nature of depravity, because depravity is something that God gives you over to, and I just want to make a clarification. Judgment is what God does to bring people back around to himself. He brings judgment in our lives, discipline in our lives, to bring us back. Abandonment is when God abandons people. That's it. You want to do it? Go ahead and do it. I'm not going to bother you anymore. You'll just run the course. Well, a divine abandonment is what we're seeing right now, because it leads to a national insanity. And that's what these people are perpetrating on America right now, is a form of national insanity. What is empirical science? I mean, you know, X, Y, X, X. Empirical science is now, you know, anything you want to call it. And they're actually making laws to protect the insanity and to persecute the people who would bring the true scientific data to the table. Again, the racial conflict that they're seeking to bring about. And this is the thing, just a list of things I have that the nation is facing right now. We need to understand, we do want to fall into their paradigm. We want to resist their paradigm. You know, the black white thing, they want to make me hate black people, and they want black people to hate me. I'm not going to fall into that paradigm. I'm just not going to do it. And I'm going to say, you know, treat everybody, as Martin Luther King said, not by the color of their skin, but by the character of who they are. And so we just need to resist this paradigm they are trying to put on us and substitute it with a conservative Christian, you know, constitutional paradigm, to where they don't have any answer for it. They fear it. And that's the thing I would just like to say to America right now. They fear you. That's why they persecute you so much. They fear you. It's not, if they didn't fear you, they just laugh you off. You know, it's nothing.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, it's obvious they fear us. I mean, look at the Capitol. Look at the in Washington, what they're doing in Washington, D.C., the fences, the concertina wire on top of the fences surrounding the Capitol. It's to keep us out. You're right. It's because they're afraid of us. And you know, going back to January 6th, calling. I listen to when I do listen to the mainstream media, it's always this insurrection. Well, I would say, look, if the true patriotic insurrection would not look like that. So, you know, yes, I do believe that they fear us and they fear our response. And, you know, even not just at a national level, but I think the fear comes down to a local level. Look at the Maricopa County audit. I mean, my goodness,
oh my gosh.
You know, that's what that's going to expose, and that domino is going to push other dominoes. So the fear is out there, and I think you're absolutely right. And this is stuff that people at our level can do and are doing to push back. Just a couple of things, but you know, there's so much more. And you're so right about the biblical judgment and such. You're absolutely 100% correct. And I think people have to look through that prism, that lens, in order to really understand how things are going. So
you know, history is his story, is as they say. And you know, when we know history, we see how God has dealt with nations that have gone before us and have come after us. You know, if we carry and promote and build the ideas of, you know, freedom, liberty for people, It doesn't matter under what flag they that banners. It doesn't, because nations have come and gone, but people who love freedom promote that to the next generation. That's what we need to be doing. Again, you know, we look at the pieces right now as a puzzle. You know, when you start putting a puzzle together, you might have to look at the box to see where pieces start to go. You have to get an idea of what's coming about. But as you put more and more of those pieces together, the picture starts to come pretty clear. And I'd say anybody who can't read, you know, I see that always see those Jeopardy things, you know, with this one, you know, Biden is the easiest in destroying America. Can you take a guess? Well, that's where we're at. There's not too many pieces of the puzzle left for us to figure out what they're about. I mean, they're about the destruction of America. They're about the destruction of Christianity. I mean, persecution of Christians, the destruction of the Constitution, the destruction of the Second, First, and Fourth, Tenth Amendment. That's what they're about. And all the hyperbole that they've spouted over the years, they have done just the opposite of it. Maricopa County is a great thing. I mean, this is just one county in the United States, and yet the DOJ forces from all over the world are coming in here, and they're just absolutely trying to prevent that audit from happening because they're afraid. They know if one domino falls, many will fall.
100%. Yep.
You know what I this is the thing. I was reading this the Bible one time, and if you remember the story in the Bible where Lot was kidnapped. That was Abraham's nephew, was kidnapped by the kings of Sodom. He was drug away. And so if you're kidnapped by the kings of Sodom, you're not going to be on the peripheral of the kingdom. You're going to be down in the city center. You know, that's where you're going to be held. And so he was all kidnapped, everything. Well, you know, Abraham needed three things in order to effect the rescue of his nephew Lot. First of all, he could have said, well, he's really not mine. He's like my brother's, you know, and that's not my responsibility. That's how Jesus said, my neighbor is my brother's, you know, my responsibility. So first of all, Abraham had to have this moral courage to sit there and say, you know, I am going to go down into the enemy's camp and I am going to slaughter him and take my family back. So without this moral courage, and this is why I tell people, this is what we concentrate on. You know, we concentrate on this of just the word of God builds us up. It says there's a saying, the fear of the Lord builds strong confidence. And when we have that proper perspective of who God is and what he does, we just have this confidence that just says, who are they? They're nothing. And that's what we do it. So first, Abraham had this moral courage to say, you know, this isn't going to stand. I'm not just going to go take them back. I'm going to go in the city center and I'm going to slaughter them all for doing what they did. And second of all, Abraham at the time, he had to have men of valor. Now, I would say today we have men and women of valor. You know, we just cannot be these people who are Casper milk toast anymore, afraid to offend. We've bought this social gospel that we have to be non-offensive to everyone. We have to love everything. We have to do this. No, we have to be men and women of valor that say trained in the art of war, and not necessarily just physical war, but trained in the art of spiritual war and spiritual conflict and just, you know, the conflict in the realm of ideas. We cannot any longer be people who shrink back and are afraid to speak out. We have to speak out and be those people of valor because, you know, Abraham took the choicest men of his family, you know, with him. And so moral courage, men and women of valor. And then the third thing is it took time for Abraham to go from the place he was at to where his nephew was being kidnapped. He had to have supplies. And this is the whole thing of the prep movement, is that we do stock up. I mean, you know, do you think he brought swords? Do you think he brought extra water? Do you think he brought food? I mean, all those things he had to bring with them so that as they journeyed there, they had what they needed to effect the rescue. I mean, you could be the baddest Navy SEAL in the world. Well, maybe Craig Sawyer could do it. I joked with you. Craig Sawyer is the kind of guy who reminds me of the joke that says when King Kong and Godzilla follow me into the alley, the monkey and the lizard aren't coming out alive. You know, he kind of reminds me of that guy. But that's the mindset we have to have. You know, if King Kong and Godzilla follow me into the alley, they're not coming out alive. The monkey and the lizard aren't coming out. And so we develop that mindset, and we do that by exercising courage. You know, courage is not something that most people are born with. Courage is something that you have to exercise and practice at. I remember the first time I ever traveled overseas, and you know, I was working, put it that way. You know, and I found myself in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, first time I ever left the country. And then I got into a car with some people and ended up in the middle of the Arabian desert. And it's like, boy, I'm the only white guy out here. You know? It's like, am I coming? I mean, and as far as you could see, it was just dingy, that sand. You couldn't see anything else. It looked like you were in the middle of the Pacific, but instead of water, you just saw desert. But you know, you do that and do it and do it. And all of a sudden, courage starts to be built up within you. You just see, you know, I am more than a conqueror in Christ. I can do anything. I can do all things through Christ. And so we put that practice of courage and valor into exercise in our lives. And we do it. You can start small. I mean, I remember going to the gym. And, you know, when I was in my 20s, I eventually got to a 400-pound bench press. But I didn't do it by walking into the gym the first day and going, put four of those plates on each side. I'm going to, you know, nail that baby. No. I mean, I started out with one plate on each side. It's like, oh, what am I doing? Wow. But just exercising it over and over again. And that's what we need to be doing right now, is exercising the courage the Lord puts in our heart, the courage we have from being right. And then as we do that, it builds and builds and builds. And then we become those men and women of valor, that we're not afraid of the enemy. We look the enemy square in the eye and say, I'm not afraid of you. Do what you will. And I will do what I need to do. And so that's the second thing. And then the last thing is, like I said, you know, deprivation is coming to this nation. Shortages are coming. Food shortages, water shortages. We've seen gas shortages, electrical shortages. I mean, I understand, you know, Colonial Pipeline paid that ransom. That's just drop in the bucket compared to what they do, the billions of dollars they do. But it does set a precedent. Whoever did it, it sets a precedent for other hackers and other people to do it. And they're already priming the pump. If you've noticed, again, listen to them. They're priming the pump for this summer. It's going to be a long, hot, violent summer. Have you heard them say that?
Yes.
I've heard them say it. Yes. So priming this pump, you know, electricity goes off, something happens, and then all of a sudden they want this race war. You know, of all the ideologies and things that men fight over, Doug, I can't look at you and say, well, Doug's a Democrat. Doug's a Republican. I can't look at you and say you're a Presbyterian. I can't look at you and say you're Catholic. I can't look at you and see any of those things, but I can look at you and see you're a white guy. Yes. And see, now the enemy knows this, and they know it's the easiest way to provoke people. So this is why they use the race card so much, because you can look at a black guy and see he's a black guy. You can look at a white guy and see he's a white guy. So they know, and they provoke that prejudice over and over and over again. And that's what we see going on, because in order for communism to work, they have to have hate. That's one of the reasons they hate the Christian gospel so much, because the Christian gospel tells me to love my brother. It doesn't matter if he's white, brown, you know, yellow, whatever. It tells me to love him. And they can't have that, because that undermines the whole Marxist philosophy. So, I mean, they're going to promote this racial thing this summer, I think, and they're already priming the pump. They're already telling us what they're going to do with this long, hot, violent summer bit that they're, perpetrating right now. So we need to be equipped for that and be ready for it. We have to have our minds ready for action. And so that's what I tell people to do. Get ready for it. You know, whatever you need to do. If you're on a well and electricity goes out, you better have a way to get water. You know, if there's things that you need, you better get them now, because I think they really tipped their hands what they're going to do. And I could just see a national, ransomware against some major part of the grid where it goes down. And, you know, you have just millions of Americans sweltering in hot summer sun with no ability to alleviate that. A lot of people would die. A lot of the elderly would die from it. And, you know, it'll really put a burden on the nation. But again, it falls into the Marxist hands. It falls into the Democrats' hands. This never let a good crisis go to waste. They use these things. It's just like the state I'm in right now, Tennessee. You know, we've had the Tennessee Bridge, I-40, that goes over the Mississippi River. 45,000 cars a day go over that bridge. And now it's closed down indefinitely until they figure a way to get it fixed. There's a crack in one of the major structural elements of that bridge. Just to give you a couple quick facts, Dave, never let a good crisis go to waste. I mean, Dave, excuse me. I usually use a lot of abuse.
I answered anything.
Sorry. Yeah. Forgive me. But, you know, 500 million tons of goods and cargo go up and down the Mississippi River. Millions of tons of food go up and down the Mississippi River. Construction materials, everything goes up and down. Now, it doesn't close the whole river off, but right now they're not allowing traffic to go underneath that bridge, which is there's hundreds and hundreds of barges just waiting. The barge industry alone is a $100 billion industry employing 33,000 people. So, I mean, this is a crisis they're going to exploit. And we have to understand that's what they're going to do. And again, preparation, this is why we prepare. It's not fear. It's not these things. You know, it's what it is. Joseph, the biblical character Joseph, can you imagine him? That he was told they'd have 7 good years, you know, and it's like, what are you doing? Wheat is everywhere, Joseph. It's everywhere. And he's going, but it's not going to always be that way. There's coming a danger time. And you know, you get somebody thinking, man, he's just a fear monger. I mean, it's busting out the seams right now, but 7 bad years were coming. And, you know, because Joseph did what he did, he ended up owning a lot of the property of Egypt because he traded, you know, the wheat that they'd saved up for the goods that people, the foolish, did not prepare for. So that's what we need to be doing right now. Men and women of courage, men and women of valor, and then make sure we have goods in our home that we can feed our family in the darkest of hours, because the darkest of hours are going to come, but we're going to win in the end of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, so taking this one kind of one or two at a time here, you had mentioned the bridge down there in Tennessee. Now, it's my understanding, I'm just talking about exploiting a crisis. My understanding that crack was there 2 years ago, and photographs of that emerged a couple of years ago, and now they're just kind of acting on it. So the timing is suspicious to me. Okay. So now I don't know how true that is.
It seems suspicious.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, whatever it is, you know, I always tell people this, if I'm sitting there cleaning my gun, I have an accidental discharge and it goes into my head, I'm going to be dead. If a guy comes into my house and shoots me in the head, I'm going to be dead. So the result is going to be, I'm going to be dead. Sometimes we get so focused on the circumstance of how it happened, we don't understand the end result is you're dead. And, you know, so was the crack there? Obviously, somebody wasn't doing their job. So at best, they weren't doing their job. Worst case, they were waiting to exploit this. And it does come back to back on the heels of the gas crisis that we had. And with all, I mean, that you can go online and verify those facts. 500 million tons of goods, 45,000 cars a day. And the other two bridges, I've been across that bridge quite a few times. The other two bridges, you're going to have to divert all that tractor trailer traffic on those two bridges, which is going to slow things down, bottleneck the works. Prices are going to go up. Shortages are going to develop. It's just going to be a natural consequence because I-40 is the major artery going east-west across this country. So again, you know, never let a good crisis go to waste. They will exploit it because they need deprivation. They need people, you know, having to hunt around and spending all their time looking for the elements to live by so that we can't stop them from their nefarious purposes.
Well, okay. So if you don't mind focusing on that, because you mentioned we had the Ice Age farmer on talking about food shortages. We've had a number of people. And by the way, Steve Quayle is going to be on tomorrow night. Folks, the schedule changed tomorrow night. So it's going to be great. Okay. Now, having said that, what do you recommend? Because I get emails asking me and I forward them along to different people, but what do you recommend? I mean, obviously it's common sense, but sometimes sense isn't that common around, you know, anymore. What do you recommend people putting aside or investing? And folks, I want you to know that Robert Griswold, Ready Made Resources, has got the best of the best of the best, as far as I'm concerned, in terms of all product lines. So he's the place to go. And if this is a plug for ready-made resources, it should be, and so be it. But what do you recommend people put aside right now? Water, of course. You know,
water. I mean, it's you have primary, secondary, tertiary elements of survival. And this is the thing I do, Dave, and I don't want to sound, you know, but I've had a lot of experience in this, a lot.
Right.
I've been around the world. I've seen people. I've experienced a lot of things most people will never experience. It was a very exciting life, a very challenging life, you know, and sometimes a very scary life. But what you need is, first of all, depend your geographic location, cold, hot, family. How many children do you have? Do you have no family? Do you have elderly parents? There's things that come into this equation. This is what I do. People call me. They can call me my toll-free number, and I'll talk with them about this, how to develop a plan for you. Because obviously, if you live in an area that's in South Florida, you're not going to worry about heating your home. But if you live in Michigan, Detroit, you better have a way, because you're not going to have water running. I mean, the people in Texas just recently saw that when they had that abnormal freeze. I mean, no water. And, you know, so having the ability to deal with those crises is sometimes geographically, politically, do you live in a red or blue county? And so a lot of that can come into play. Obviously, if everybody around you is blue and you're red, you've got to be a lot more careful because, you know, they're not going to like people like you. Where if you live in a, you know, a county like I live in, where we're heavily red, you find a lot of people who are like-minded. We live in Apple, you know, the mountains of Tennessee, and it's a lot of people like me around here, and, you know, like me. I mean, not like personally like me, but they're like me, you know.
Right.
So that's what you need. But obviously, you know, food. And, you know, you can get the freeze-dried food from myself, from other people. But even if you're on a small budget, you know, if you go to the grocery store and buy a bag of beans, a bag of rice, buy some extra things, you can start stocking up that way. Because the worst place people are going to be, and we've seen this, is when the supplies run out after a hurricane, natural disaster, where do they end up? Doing whatever the government asks them to do to get fed, you know, whatever they have to get water, to get, I mean, you want to end up in a big auditorium with thousands of other people, no privacy whatsoever, you know, sleeping in a cot with no hope for when you're going to ever go back to what your life was. Or do you want to be able to maybe stay where you're at or go to a relative's house or have a plan B to where you can go and have supplies already pre-inventoried at that place so that you don't end up in that auditorium? I mean, I look at that and you know, I'm sure they're probably grateful for having a roof over their head, but it's not the best place to be. I mean, it, you know, no firearms are allowed. And you don't know what kind of violence the Superdome turned into, a big violence fest during Hurricane, I think it was Katrina, yep. where it just broke down very quickly into, you know, the brute force. And you don't want to be there. So, again, it's the third element. And I do want to put it in perspective. Moral courage is more important than having supplies. Being a man or woman of valor is more important than having supplies. So what I do is actually the least important of all of them. You know, you need those first one. I want to be a man of valor. I want my wife to be a woman of valor. And I want to have the moral courage to do what is right, no matter what the circumstance. At the end of the day, you know, then I have the supplies to take care of my family and maybe help other people in a time of crisis. So that's what I do. But I like talking with people on the phone and helping them develop. If you live up north, you know, again, if you have a water filter and it freezes, you're going to ruin it. Water expands when it freezes, and it's going to crack the elements. A lot of people don't know that. And yet, there's ways to make simple little stoves out of alcohol that'll heat a room up. Maybe keep it above freezing. You won't be comfortable. You know, you won't be sitting there in your Hawaiian shirt and shorts. But, you know, you're going to be above freezing and be able to keep comfortable and maybe cook some and melt water, whatever you need to do. There's ways to do all these things. And that's what I tell people. Right now, we just have this wonderful opportunity to learn how to do and equip ourselves for this hard times coming. Dave, I would just say this. There is absolutely no doubt in my mind. And I know I've known Steve now since 1992, Steve Quayle.
Yep.
And boy, you know, for a man who has mocked so much of his life, he has hit it out of the park, you know, with so many of the predictions he made. Have just, I mean, there wasn't a single or a double or a triple. This was a knock it out of the park prediction he's made. And so many of them come to pass. So, you know, those are the things that we need to be looking at, because deprivation is coming. I cannot say that enough to this nation, and we're going to experience want. And history is replete with stories. Nazi Germany, when Germany fell and the Russians were coming in, people would sell themselves in any manner, sell their children, do whatever for food. Now, we can't even comprehend that in this nation, but all you have to do is read the lessons of history. When Israel was surrounded, they did it. Cannibalism broke out. It's horrible. I've read stories of people in the gulags up in, northern Russia. They were eating sawdust to keep alive, and axle grease, anything they could put in their stomach. And I could never do that, but they did do it. The Donner Party, when hunger set in. So it's not that it's without historic precedent of what I'm saying, but I think the historic precedent is to say that it is coming. But, you know, God is always merciful. He warned Noah. He warned Joseph. He warns people ahead of time. Hey, get off the tracks. The train is barreling at you at 90 miles an hour. Standing in the middle of that railroad track is not a good place to be.
No, I totally agree. Now, I don't want to get too far off course here and onto a tangent. But let me ask you your thoughts on with this whole pandemic, scandemic, whatever you want to call it, the Chinese Communist Party virus. I believe there's a virus. I believe it was manufactured. I believe the evidence is there that Fauci, along with Peter Daszak and Ralph Baric, were working on the gain of function weaponization, whatever you want to call it. So I believe all of that. I believe that there's something out there with the spike proteins and the four different types non-vaccine shots. So having said all of that, how does that, in your estimation, play into what we're seeing? I don't think I've asked you that since you've been on. I don't recall asking you that. And if I did, I apologize. But how do you see that?
Well, I think it's a very valid question. I think I will take my own enemy's answer for that question. They openly admit depopulation is their goal. This is not something that's conspiracy theory. All you have to do is read. I mean, Prince William just died. If I ever came back reincarnated and come back as a virus and kill most of humanity, we need to reduce the population by 7 billion people. The Georgia Guidestones, 500 million people. Their writings are replete with the fact that we need to just eliminate most of humanity because humanity is such a blight on the earth. And, you know, you can talk to Mike Adams, you can talk to all these people who really have the scientific background. The food we eat kills us. The medications we take kill us. The education we get doesn't satisfy, so it leaves us hollow and depressed. Yep. I mean, it's just everything around us, they break the family apart, they break the morals down so we don't have moral strength anymore. Everything that can be done to bring about destruction, all the perversions we see that break apart marriage, with the goal that God had for a man and a woman to procreate and to pass the values of Christianity and freedom on to the next generation, you know, that's being destroyed. Use their own words. I mean, it's there. I don't have to answer the question. They've already answered it. You know, the vaccine, yes. You know, when a year from now, or like you've seen the meme before, you know, 10 years from now, when I don't think it'll be that long, if you're injured by the vaccine of 2020, call the law firm of whatever, and we'll sue the pants off of them. You know, I think that's what you're going to eventually see, because I think these people who take these vaccines, and they're not FDA approved.
Right.
So you don't know really what you're getting. I know that a report came out recently by a guy on the website, and he posted all the ingredients in the vaccines. You probably saw the report. Steve sent it to me. Yep. Of just things that cause cancer, things that are toxic, very toxic to humanity.
Yeah.
And they're in the vaccine.
Oh, so, of course. Yeah. It's supposedly inert. A lot of them are the listed as inert agents, but obviously they're carcinogens and known to be
or neurotoxins.
Yes. I'm kind of interested to see what's going to happen toward the fall when we see the resurgence of the normal, if that's the word, the flu, and how the people who have taken that this shot or series of shots, how they respond to that.
That's what I enjoy asking people. Where'd the normal flu go to? I mean, you don't hear about it. Everybody, the flu's gone away. And, you know, COVID cured the flu, I guess. I, you know, I mean, but you never hear of the regular flu anymore. It's all COVID, COVID, COVID. Again, that's an indoctrination technique. Say it over, repeat it over and over and over again. And I mean, you just see this ridiculousness of people driving with masks on in the car alone. You know, so there's one, this lady with a hula hoop on, you know, staying, so you'd stay 6 feet away from her. It's absolute insanity. And it just shows you how quickly people can become indoctrinated into something that there's very little scientific evidence that backs it up. You can't question it. If you question it at all, you know, social media bans you, you're ostracized, people make fun of you. So if, you know, you can't question it, you can't object to it, it's going to be forced on you. You won't be able to travel. I mean, does that sound like something that, you know, has scientific backing or something that's just absolutely tyrannically enforced?
Yeah, the latter. And, you know, I enjoy watching, although, look, I get the fact that Rand Paul, or a lot of the things that we see in Congress, you know, whether it's the House side or the Senate side, it rarely come to any kind of fruition. But I enjoy seeing Rand Paul put Fauci on the hot seat and saying,
I love that.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, you know, do you believe in the vaccine or what he calls the vaccine, or don't you? And, you know, to get him to admit the things he's already admitted. Now, Rand Paul hasn't gone far enough, but, you know, give it some time. So all of this, and thank you for answering that question. I think most people can see through this, which is why what they're having lottery things to give to people, you know, they're giving away
$1 million if you take your injection.
And have you ever seen any kind of incentives like this before in anything else? I haven't, but okay. No,
I mean, Doug, and what you have to keep in mind is that the more they feel cornered in this, what happens when you corner an animal that's wounded? They become more and more dangerous. And they do hold so many of the elements of power in our country. Yep. I fully expect to see more false flags, you know, anything they can to divert attention from the reality of it. I mean, just look how many, you know, we had the gas crisis right during the Maricopa audit. You know, it's just a diversion technique. So we don't look, you know, we don't, this hand is robbing the bank. Well, this hand over here is entertaining people. And so we have to be able to see through that and say, no. You know, what about the Maricopa audit? What about it? We're not going to take no for an answer. If you say you won, what's the problem?
Exactly.
We count it.
Yes.
You know, it'll shut us up. We'll finally go home and take our toys with us. Hey, you know, it's you won, clear and square. You won. But no, they do every evil, corrupt thing imaginable to keep that audit from happening. And they create crisis after crisis after crisis to prevent that from happening and to keep the American people, you know, off balance. And you know, I think that the whole scamdemic thing is running its course now. And, you know, I think maybe even perhaps what they in India, that might be a different variant that they've released, because that does seem to be very virulent. And, you know, India and China right now are at each other's throats. $1.4 billion each nation has, they both have nuclear weapons. I mean, that's a very, very tenuous situation there in the border. And so all of a sudden COVID broke out, and this is a really dangerous COVID, and a lot of people are dying from it. Well, perhaps the Chinese just released something different, because I'm telling you, I mean, you just read the history of China, and they don't have the same moral code that we have. Life means little to them.
Yeah. Moral code, I don't think it exists over there. And what's happening too with the Christians in China is just obscene. I mean, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there's just so much that's going on. And I share your concern with this India situation. There's something not right there either. And so I appreciate that. I appreciate that observation, that analysis. Folks, Robert Griswold, readymaderesources.com. Robert Griswold, readymaderesources.com. In the program description box, click that link, go there. And, you know, think as a man or woman of courage, of valor. Think what you need, folks. Think what you need to get yourself prepared for what's coming, because you know what? We don't know if next week we're not going to be able to get a shipment of anything. So do it today. Do it tomorrow. That's readymaderesources.com. They've got my stamp of approval. And I, folks, let me, hey, pull up to the table a little bit. Let me tell you something. Bob saved my, he saved my butt. Okay. I could have been killed a couple of years ago. And I'm not going to get into the story except to say that if it was not for that man sitting there on your screen, I may not be here. And I appreciate what he does. But he does more than that. He actually talks the talk. He walks the walk, more importantly. And he helps other people do the same. Again, readymaderesources.com. So I'm going to say thank you for that.
Doug, can I mention one more thing to you?
Go ahead.
You know, we see these shortages develop. This is another reason to get your stuff now. You go to some of these lumber stores. They're restricting how much drywall compound you can buy. They're restricting how many 2x4s you can get. And as more and more of these shortages develop, it's not going to be that I can go down and buy, you know, 100 cans of beans. There's going to be a limit of 5 per customer. That's what you're going to see. And then the days of being able to really prepare will be over, because as you know, we get away from paper currency and it goes digital, they're going to be out of control. They're going to know what you bought last week. And so you've already bought your supply for the month. It's heading in that direction. So it's just another reason why to do it now while you still have the relative liberty and freedom to do so before restrictions and limitations come in.
What he said, because I'll tell you what, that bundle of cash in your mattress, right? Wink, wink, nod, nod. It may not be any good in a week or two or five or 10 or a year. Who knows?
Definitely going to tear a lot of it away.
That's very true. So turn it into something that would be that you would need and use. And if for some reason you're not here anymore, for whatever reason, if you've got family, think about your family, because that's a big thing. You know, I've got kids, I've got grandchildren, and I worry about them. So there's a reason. Okay. In the remaining time we have, and you've been so gracious with your time, folks, you've got no idea. This guy's busier than I'll ever think of being. And he's sharing his wisdom with us. What information can you impart to the listeners and viewers of the Hageman Report that you feel maybe that's on your heart that, whatever, because I think we can all make a difference, brother. I really do. And I'm not ready to throw in the towel yet. I know you're not either. So having said that, to the pearl clutchers, to the people who are saying, oh, there's no hope, and how can I change anything, or what can I do, or whatever else might be on your heart, share with the people.
Well, first and foremost, as a Christian, I would just say this, you know, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. So my hope is not in the elements of this world. I use the elements of this world, but I seek a kingdom whose builder and maker is God. And that's why I come from. That's my perspective on it. I understand. The second thing is, I do love history. And when you read it, what did Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain say? History doesn't repeat itself, but it sure does rhyme. You know, It doesn't take a rocket scientist to do the analytics and just see every nation that's done what we've done goes through these circumstances. It is mathematical. You can plot it out. And especially when they're saying it, you see it happening right before your eyes. And we're well down that stream right now. So I would just tell people right now to get equipped. I mean, you know, a year ago, year and a half ago, you could buy an AR-15 round for 22 to 25 cents. Today, they're $1.25 if you can find them. And so that's, I mean, imagine when that's milk, imagine when that's butter or rice, to where, you know, it's not only going to be, can you find it, but how much do you have to pay for it? And then the black market develops. And that's when you go and you don't know what the black marketeers will want for that. And I don't, you know, you guys can figure that one out, what they're going to want for.
You know what? I've got a question. I saw this posed in a survival forum that I do watch because it contains a lot of good intelligence. Here's a question, or here's something that was stated. And if you can just briefly, or however, if you can respond to it. There was a kind of a meme that said our forefathers didn't whimper. They didn't cry. They went out and they killed the British, essentially. I'm paraphrasing. And it was pretty intense the way it was written. And then about five or six comments deep, there was somebody that said, but you know what? The weapons were pretty much equal. are you, you know, meaning that other poster, are you willing to go out and fight against the military's, you know, the U.S. military or whatever military with what you have, even if it's an AR-15 or an AK or whatever it might be? How are you going to win? Can we win? Is it wise to even fight?
Can I say one word?
Say more.
I'll say one word. Afghanistan. How long have we been there? 20 years with a bunch of backwards people. They don't have B-52s.
Yep.
They don't have stealth planes. They don't have aircraft carriers that can rain down, you know, napalm bombs on things. And then before us, how long were the Soviets there? 10 years. And, you know, now we're trying to pull out of Afghanistan because it's as they say, it's the graveyard of nations. And did we win? No, we didn't win. We spent ungodly amounts of national treasure in life in that country. But they didn't win because those people were dedicated to their cause. You know, when you have a nation or people that are dedicated to the cause, and I would say not so much violent. I think Martin Luther King had it so nailed on this one, you know, that he didn't take it violent. There were so many people during his time that were taking it violent, you know, burn, baby, burn, all that. Yep. But he did not do it, and he won. Yeah, I'll leave people with this thought. What changed the Roman Empire? Was it people like Barabbas, the revolutionary, or was it 12 men that went out and preached the gospel of peace to a nation of the Empire of Rome? What brought Rome down? The gospel of peace, 12 men. So we carry a very powerful weapon, Dave. I mean, Doug, excuse me, I keep saying that because I probably don't read it with Dave a couple times a week. Doug, we carry a very powerful weapon. It's called the truth. You know, there was a story one time, and I forgot the exact circumstance of it, but this king wanted to get rid of all the Bibles in his land, and one of his wise men came to him and said, sire, the Bible is an anvil that has worn out many hammers. You know, the truth is like that. You know, the people that beat on it and beat on it and beat on it, but what happens is the hammer wears out. The truth doesn't wear out. So that's what I would leave people with. We have the truth. You know, they have a lie, and it's obvious. Just look at the perversion that swims in their life. Look at just the broken lives they have, the drug addictions, their need for pedophilia. I mean, you name it. They swim in this evil. We swim in the truth. It you know, and so that's what we have as a powerful weapon. And, you know, that truth I have is going to wear out their hammer.
Amen to that. And folks, that's why you tuned into this show, to hear the sage advice and wisdom of people like Robert Griswold, Ready Made Resources. And you know something, how very true that is, because truth will prevail. And I really believe that. And you know, you said so much, moral courage, men of valor and women of valor, and preparation, of course, practical supplies and preparation. That's all part of a bigger equation to fight the bigger enemy or fight the terrestrial enemy in the spiritual war in which we find ourselves. And remember, folks, this is a spiritual war, and I think everyone kind of feels it. So we have to stay in the fight and keep fighting. And folks, I want to tell you this, please, because of the way things are right now, contact Robert Griswold. Look, this I didn't ask him to come on to promote his store, but it's smart to do that. Okay, contact Robert Griswold, Ready Made Resources. You need what he's got in terms of food, long term storable food, water filters, everything and anything you can think of, and he'll help you too. He's not, and trust me, I've gotten a lot of feedback from people who said, I can't believe I called and actually talked to him. So readymaderesources.com, link in the program description box. With that, my friend, I just want to say God bless you and thank you so much for taking your time to come today and to share your information.
It's a pleasure to be here, Doug. Thank you.
God bless you. And let's not, let's do this more often, my friend. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. Folks, that'll do it for the Hagman Report. It's an abbreviated version. May God bless each and every one of you. Of course, tomorrow night, Steve Quayle, hour number one. You're not going to want to miss that. My goodness, tune in. Have a good night.